Genesis chapter 12, verse 1. The Lord had said to Abram, "Leave your country, your people, and your father's household, and go to the land I will show you." Fellow redeemed in Christ, the book of Genesis spans about 2,246 years, almost one-third of human history. And amazingly, 2,000 of those years are found in the first 11 chapters, chiefly through the genealogies in chapters 5, 10, and 11. By contrast, the remaining 38 chapters of Genesis cover a period of 246 years. In Genesis 12, the divine record slows to show the call and the life of Abraham. Why? Abraham is, of course, important in Scripture, but not because of who Abraham was, but because of the faithful, loving, compassionate God in whom Abraham believed, the God who promised that through one of Abraham's descendants, Jesus Christ, all the nations of the earth would be blessed. And God kept that promise, and how blessed we are in Jesus Christ. Abraham's life was a journey of faith, and yet the essence of faith does not change, does it? As in Hebrews 11, faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. And the faithfulness of Almighty God does not change, does it? God who said in Malachi chapter 3, verse 6, "I am the Lord, and I do not change." And therefore, these two great realities, the unchanging nature of faith, the unchanging faithfulness of God, are what make our journey of faith through this life no different, no less miraculous than that of Abraham. Let's see how. First, Abraham's journey was due solely to God's call. At that time, Abraham was 75 years old, happily married, solidly into retirement, living in the beautiful city of Haran, palm trees, ample water. He and Sarah, now 65 years old, had no children, and yet they were blessed. They had possessions, they had servants, they had enormous wealth. Life was good. Under those circumstances, can you imagine Abraham saying to Sarah, "Honey, I've made a decision." And she says, "What?" And he says, "I've decided we're moving from Haran to Canaan." And she says, "Where's Canaan?" And he says, "About 500 miles from here." And she says, "Hold on a minute. You want us to pack all of our belongings and at our age to set out on a journey of 500 miles? And if we could manage 10 miles a day, a journey of 50 days, have you lost your mind?" Did that conversation really happen? Probably not. But it does illustrate how unlikely it would have been for Abraham to set out on that journey on his own. His journey was not possible, not even contemplated, until he received a call from God. Our call to faith is from God too. Our journey to faith in Jesus Christ was not our own doing and not our own choosing, but the result of God's call. Just as Paul wrote to the Corinthians, "God, who has called us into fellowship with his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, is faithful." And our call to our journey of faith is really no less miraculous. True, God did not appear directly to us as he appeared to Abraham, but the essence of God's call was what? Listen again, Genesis 12:1. The Lord had said to Abraham, he called Abraham through his word, just as he calls us. And oh, I wish that all of us could remember that when we're young and disillusioned, or old and regretful, or sick and struggling, that we could remember, God called me. God wanted me. God set me on this journey and has promised to be with me every step of the way. And if God has called me to do something, God will empower me to do it. And that leads to the second point. Abraham's journey of faith was due solely to God's grace and power. I'd like you to listen carefully to the first three verses of Genesis 12 and try to note the emphasis. God said, "Leave your country, your people, and your father's household, and go to the land I will show you. I will make you into a great nation. I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all peoples on earth will be blessed through you." Where is the emphasis? Six times in three verses, God says, I. Not once did he say to Abraham, "you." What was he telling Abraham? For that matter, what is he telling us? He was saying, if I called you to go someplace, I will be the one to get you there. And can you think of anything more comforting to a man who is 75 years old and setting out from the familiar and walking into the unknown? This is easily overlooked, but did you realize that Abraham actually traveled toward Canaan twice? The first journey was at the instigation of his father, Terah. And so we read in Genesis 11, Terah took his son Abram, his grandson Lot, his daughter-in-law Sarai, the wife of his son Abram, and together they set out from Ur of the Chaldeans to go to Canaan. But when they came to Haran, they settled there. Now, isn't that instructive? When Abraham left for Canaan on his own, he quite literally didn't make it. He settled for someplace else. But when he believed God's call and obeyed it, God was the one to get him safely to the land of promise. Now, you and I may wonder at times, too, how am I going to make it? How am I going to make it through this problem, through these bills, through this difficult ministry, through this troubled marriage? How am I going to make it, Lord, all the way to heaven? How, Lord, am I going to make it one more day, through one more problem, through one more worry? The biblical answer to that is always the same answer that God gave to Abraham. I'll do it. I'm not asking you, I will do it. The same way that Paul wrote to the Thessalonians, the one who calls you is faithful. Now listen, and he will do it. Finally, Abraham's journey was guided by God's reliable, infallible word. At its simplest, faith is just taking God at his word. And this is what Abraham did again and again when he was traveling from Ur of the Chaldees to the land of Canaan. He took God at his word when he waited 20 long years for the birth of Isaac. He took God at his word when God told him to sacrifice that long-promised son. Just think of all the impossibilities that Abraham faced. God promised him the whole land of Canaan. And yet when Abraham died, he did not own one square inch of Canaan legally, except for the cave of Machpelah in which both he and Sarah were buried. And so we ask, how could Abraham patiently have overcome all those impossibilities and obstacles? And the Spirit of God answers this, Genesis 15. Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness. Or as Paul wrote of Abraham in Romans chapter 4, beautiful words, Abraham did not waver in unbelief regarding the promise of God, but he was strengthened in his faith, and he gave glory to God, being fully persuaded God had the power to do what God promised. So the nature of faith is unchanging, and the faithfulness of God is unchanging. And these two realities are what make our journey of faith through this life no different. no less miraculous than Abraham's. Amen. Our hymn today will be number 54, the first two stanzas. Hymn 54, the first two stanzas.